Hey, great to have you here this morning. I'm doing the next part of a series. We're in a series called The Inner Life. And over the last few weeks, I set up the first week talking about some aspects of prayer and how God works through different things in regards to the inner life. These can be known as spiritual disciplines, but we kind of steered clear of the idea of discipline. But then John spoke the following, Chiz spoke about the Spirit speaks, Kate Vos spoke next around suffering, John spoke last week around study or mindfulness as he called it, and this week I want to talk about embracing silence. Now just to let you know a little bit about my past, next year will be 20 years a follower of Jesus. So I became a Christian when I was about 18. I did sort of make a decision when I was a little kid in the bath at 6 years of age. I've got a photo. No, not really. But when I was 18, I guess I made an adult decision to follow Jesus. And I have been, as I said, a Christian 20 years. It was only 2 years ago that I discovered prayer could be without words. 2 years ago. Part of my tradition growing up was a Pentecostal tradition. I love it. I can shanda mahanda, who stole my bow tie, who stole my Honda, with the best of people. If you're a visitor today, I'm sorry, you're just like, what did that guy just say? I'm not sure. But 2 years ago, I had this kind of prompting to learn what it means to sit with Jesus, or contemplative prayer, it can be known as. And my personality is not about silence. Anyone else? Find silence and quietness really hard. Give me a wave. I see those hands. Everyone else is like down with it. It's like brilliant. But I've found like just in the last 2 years, I have started to say a lot less and just started to listen a lot more. And so I feel really privileged today to be talking around this subject. I'll just see if I can get the slides up because yes. We've been kicking off around Psalm 42 loosely. And in Psalm 42, verse 7, it says, deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. What does prayer look like when there's no words? You know, the psalmist here is just saying, I'm in this place where I'm in this deep place. And the Bible has a lot to say around silence and quietness. Just a few scriptures here I want to just throw out to you. Oh, yeah, it did come up. I'm looking at the wrong screen. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. We probably all know that passage in James. If nothing else, silence, practicing silence, allows there to be a gap between what we think and what we say, which is always good. James chapter 3 talks about how we can set the world on fire with our words. We can literally set the world on fire. And I actually was thinking when I was looking at that passage this week, I wonder if Trump actually practices silent before he tweets. I imagine not, but this would be a really good suggestion, I think, for him. I love this passage here that says, God says here, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In our home churches, we're actually going to look at this passage in a bit of a Lectio Divina way, which is kind of like you mull it over. And this is a beautiful passage, but just there's something about stillness that actually opens up God's power and purpose. Look at that. I will be exalted. But it begins with stillness. Be still and know that I am God. So often aren't we running around, we're frantic. God, where are you? Are you in this, God? What should I do? Or a whole bunch of other noise comes and bombards us, and yet we hear the psalmist say, be still and know that I am God. Even God sometimes prays for us without words. It says in the same way, Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Okay, maybe not complete silence, but there's a sense there of this is prayer and intercession, standing on our behalf without words, but with something deeper. One of the things that I really appreciate, even this morning, as Tim talked about, we come to Jesus and Jesus tells us to love one another, and he points us to the idea of loving one another. But I love Jesus, how he informs us of what God looks like and who God is. And Jesus said here, and when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I used to see this as kind of like, don't think God answers formulas in prayer, you know, like just repetitive stuff. Now I actually think Jesus was just saying, shh, be quiet, less words. Don't think you'll be heard because you have many words. And what does he say? Doesn't your Father know what you need? I mean, has anyone done that thought exercise around prayer? Has anyone caught themselves? I mean, I certainly have caught myself praying. So, Lord, I'm praying. Firstly, like, he knows, right? But I have to tell him, Lord, I'm praying for Janice, who has pneumonia, and she's at Sir Charles Gardner. And send your Holy Spirit. And, you know, when you stop and you just think, like, you know, Jesus kind of informing us here. You think about that sort of structure for prayer. You know, is God in heaven going, oh, hang on, Holy Spirit, hang on. I was going to send you, you know, to Royal Perth. There's a Janice in Royal Perth with pneumonia, but I'm so glad you informed me that it was Sir Charles and she had pneumonia. I would not have known who to look out for, right? It's like that crazy stuff where we say things sometimes without thinking about them, because God knows, right? So what is prayer? What's the point of prayer? What's the point of silent, inward-looking, embracing silence, inward-looking, sitting with Jesus, inward-looking prayer? Well, let me just define, I think, what prayer is just before we kick into silence and what it's about. The point of prayer is not to get God to do what we want, but for us to get in a space where we want to do what God wants and to become who God wants us to become. Let me say that again. The point of prayer is not to get God to do what we want, but to get into a space where we want to do what God wants and to become who God wants us to become. I imagine that when Jesus taught the disciples about prayer, after introducing the disciples to the idea of coming to God as Father, that's so important, our approach. If you come to God as angry dictator, it will affect how you talk to him. But he says, I want you to come to God as Father, and then listen to the reorientating words that God, through Jesus, speaks. Because we know when Jesus speaks, God is speaking. He says, after you come to God, understanding he's your Abba, your Father, I want you to pray this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. The point of prayer is to get us into a space where we want what God wants. Your will be done, your kingdom come. And I think it's beautiful when we see that. Not many of you know, but Caroline and I are avid sailors. As this photo so clearly shows. The point often of these disciplines we've been talking about, and the point of prayer, the point of silence, is like being a good sailor. I'm talking from as an authoritative person around this subject, as you can see. But A sailor practices skills that harness the wind, but they're not in control of the wind themselves. And the point of prayer and the point of some of the spiritual disciplines, all the spiritual disciplines we talked about, is to practice skills of receptivity, to practice skills where we become open and aware to the Spirit of God, to the voice of God, to the ways of God, but we're not in control of God himself. Any type of prayer you hear that talks around controlling God or getting God to do something or, you know, commanding God is BS, really, I think. Prayer is about receptivity. Prayer is about putting sails up. And when the Spirit moves and the Spirit speaks, we're more tuned in to what God is saying and doing. Again, so we can respond, so we can see God at work in the world, see where God hangs out, so we can hear his voice. Like, you know, in Acts, the disciple that was told in prayer, hey, go to the street called so-and-so, I can't even remember the name, the avenue or something, and you'll find a guy who's blind there. His name is Saul. And you're going to pray for him. And then the disciple says, God, do you know this guy? He's been killing us. Are you sure you want me to go there? Has this argument with God. But what did prayer do for him? Did he command, Lord, I pray that you knock Paul off his horse and blind him. And I pray that I would be the disciple that rocks up his house. No, none of that. God does all that stuff. And then he says to someone who's got their sails up, now I want you to do something for me. And he goes, reluctantly. I think he was happy Paul was blind, because then at least he could dodge him, you know, and get out of the way. Maybe. Who knows? So we're talking about silence. And silence is so hard, because there's noise everywhere. There's kids and congestion. There's TV and traffic. There is literally... We are bombarded all the time with noises. And some of the noises aren't just external. They come from within. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Noises. For example, I was doing a little bit of research and I found that, you know, on average, if you live in a Western world, you'll be bombarded between 50 and 70 decibels of sound every day for most of the day. I took my dB meter and I sat in foam. By the way, this service has been sponsored by Foam, and they're glad to bring you. No, I'm joking. As you do, you pull out your dB meter in the cafe, Foam, and I, sure enough, that's what the reading was. Took a screenshot of my phone, 75. That was just a bit of music, people chatting. If you're not aware of what 70 decibels is, that's a vacuum cleaner going off. That's what we're exposed to most day, every day. There's a guy called Bernie Krause, and Bernie Krause records sounds of nature. And in 1968, in order to get 1 hour of uninterrupted nature, so that means no other artificial sound, no planes or cars, it would take him 15 hours of recording to get 1 hour. He would use those recordings for films, for people, you know, for documentary TV series, that sort of stuff. That was in 1968. Today, the same 1 hour of nature takes him 2,000 hours of recording. That's how much noise is in the world today. There's a beautiful passage in the Old Testament about a prophet called Elijah. And Elijah is this dude who's pretty much burnt out. He's gone through a bunch of stuff. He's killed a few people, probably got PTSD, and he is threatened that his life is in danger by a chick by the name of Jezebel, says, I'm going to kill you if you're still alive tomorrow. And he runs, and he's exhausted, and he's burnt out, and he's tired, and he's sick and tired of being a spokesperson for God. And so he goes up into a mountain. By the way, I identify with this guy. I haven't killed a bunch of people. But I know what it's like to be burnt out. I know what it's like to be at the end of myself. I know what it's like when you go to prayer and you have no words left. I know what it's like to actually pray and all you want to say is, and do say internally is swear words. I thank God there's a lament in the Psalms. I've been praying them a lot lately. God, why? What the heck? And replace heck with something else. So he's there and it says God comes. And it says, God says, Elijah, brace yourself. I'm going to show up. And there's this massive wind just comes through. He's in this cave. And the wind comes through in the valley there and it shatters rocks. It's that powerful. And it says God wasn't in the wind. And it says then there's an earthquake and the earthquake shook the ground, but God wasn't in the earthquake. Then it says a fire swept through the place, but God wasn't in the fire. And then it says there was a whisper. Some scholars even say that you could interpret it that God was in the silence. Hear me this morning. God wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the earthquake. God wasn't in the fire. God was in the silence. For our beloved Podrishners who are listening in, the podcast didn't break for the last 5 minutes. We actually just had some stuff go up on the slides. And if you'd like to read what went up on the slides, you can click on the link in the iTunes account, and that will take you to the slides themselves so you can have a read during that. You know what I was thinking? I was actually going to do the message today and just do it on, just get up and say, I'm going to talk about silence, and then just go be it. But congratulations, everyone. You just did 5 minutes of contemplative silence. It's beautiful. And I love a while back, actually last year in April, I went to see a guy who's talking about contemplative silence and embracing silence. And just his name was Lawrence Freeman. And he says this really cool thing. He said, everyone should, step one, meditate at least once in your life. You've actually all done that. Well done. You've done it once. He says, if you never do it again, at least you'll go into the next life having seen what your mind is like. Step two, he says, repeat step one every day. And step three, repeat step two twice a day. 2 years ago, when I started to practice just silent prayer, just sitting with Jesus, it was so hard. Anyone who wants to embark on prayer, just silent prayer, it is insanely hard. For me, it was incredibly hard. I just started off at 5 minutes, and over 2 years, I've worked my way up to 6 minutes. And it's, hey, don't laugh. 6 minutes in paradise is better than 5 minutes in paradise. It's beautiful, Flight of the Conchords. Anyway, I've found it invaluable, and having gone through some of the stuff, like you're all aware that I've gone through, it was really those times where I was able to sit and be with Jesus and quiet myself down, and that I just felt like God wasn't in all the shock and awe, but God was in the silence. So if you want to do it some more, if you want to practice some more, I just want to give you some little pointers. Just distill down to help you, because there are a few rabbit warrens that you can go off track. If you don't, you can just meditate or do something from this point on. Just three things: posture, breath, and prayer word. Posture, breath, and prayer word. Firstly, posture. When you just are going to do prayer in this respect and just quieten yourself down, it's just so important to understand that often your body actually dictates to you what happens on the inside as well. C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters, which is a book about a demon instructing his younger protege on how to get into the grill of human beings and lead them astray. He says this: my dear Wormwood, at the very least, they, as in humans, can be persuaded that bodily position makes no difference to their prayers, for they constantly forget what you must always remember, that they are animals, and whatever their bodies do affects their souls. So true. So true. So when you're praying, even the early church fathers understood this. It doesn't matter whether you go in the wilderness, and a solitude often comes into play when we're talking about silence, but you can be in the most quiet place in the world and be distracted. So one of the things that's beautiful is just quieten your body down, sit comfortably. Some people kneel, but I just find it's great just to sit with my hands in my lap and quiet my body down first and foremost. Just find a really comfortable place. There's also a really practical thing about just being aware of your body, okay? Because, you know, one of the things that the incarnation, which just means Jesus showed up in human form, and the resurrection tell us, is that our bodies matter. Like, don't follow a form of Christianity or anything else that says your body is rubbish and doesn't matter. Because Jesus, when he rose from the dead, says, you know what? I want to not just save your souls, and I don't just want to save this planet, but I want to save your bodies as well. And so being aware of your body, being present to his presence is really important. it's important because often when you quieten yourself down like we've just done, you start to notice the distractions. You notice your stupid dog barking its head off. In fact, when you actually start to just be silent before God, you'll actually find everything seems to kick off. The kids start screaming, you know, sirens are going, and you're just going, and you can get really angry at that time. And so you end up doing the opposite to what you thought you were doing by being kind of spiritually in contact with God. You end up being really angry in your head going, you dumb dog, I'm going to kill you. You know, all these sorts of murder start to come out. But if you understand that, you know, God has got us in this world, and that contemplation and silent prayer isn't just for the, you know, SAS elite of Christianity, not for the monks and nuns, but it's for all of us to be practiced anywhere and everywhere, then you can embrace those noises as the noises of life around you. You can actually even celebrate them and maybe see them as clouds. Yes, they're distractions, but let them float by. Don't focus on them. Don't be like, I'm going to kill you, dog. Just be like, yep, the dog's barking. It's about being present. This helps combat this idea that often, so if we say, you just sit there and you feel your body, you just be comfortable in your own skin, it helps combat two things. One is, it helps combat the idea of, say, Gnosticism, which is just the idea that your body is bad and your spirit is good, so you've got to escape. Contemplative or Christian prayer is not about escaping somewhere else. It's not about floating off. So when you do this, don't feel you have to float off. And Gnosticism was something that the early church came against because it was basically stuff done in your body. Your body needs to be escaped from. And then there's this idea on the other side, Stoicism, which is like, it's almost like will worship. You can read in Colossians where it's like, touch not, taste not. You know, it's like, I'm going to, by the power of my mind, by the power of Grayskull, no, by the power of my mind, I am going to pray. And I'm going, and it's kind of like the opposite. It's like, no, it's not about willpower here. It's about being with God. So, posture is really important. I'm clicking two things at once, so that's why I'm a little bit... The next one is breathing. And we've already sort of practiced that a little bit today. But just, I love just breathing in God's love and just letting go of stuff as I breathe out. Just... You know, we know that research has been done. Just breathing, you know, exercise on their own can lower blood pressure and all that sort of stuff. But there's something beautiful for me about breath. And it's found like in Genesis 1 where God breathed on them. Often in prayer, and I don't know whether I'm the only one who struggles this, but often in prayer can be about God being somewhere else. And us trying to get God to be with us. Like, so a big chunk of the prayer is like, all right, if I do the right things, I don't know if I confess my sins and blah, 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 jump through all the hoops, then maybe God will be like, oh yeah, I now notice you because he's off, you know, doing something else in the cosmos. One of the beautiful things about just breathing is just a reminder that God is so close. He's as close as your breath. And he wants to be with you, and he is with you. The final thing is this idea of a prayer word. And contemplative prayer, a Christian prayer, is unique, I think, in a way, because it's not about just making your mind go blank or just doing nothing or thinking of nothing or being. But it's actually about focusing on he who is present, Jesus. And so when the early church fathers and mothers started to like explore the idea of just silence and being prayer as being with God, they discovered that even though they were in the wilderness, the noises of their mind would just be so just as loud as if they were surrounded by the hustle and bustle of everyday life. And so what they did is they looked to the scriptures to see how they could combat this noisiness that often, after a while of being able to kind of embrace the noise around you, you realize this noise from within starts to come and is almost as loud and very distracting at times. And so they actually came upon the passage where Jesus was in the wilderness, and the devil himself came to tempt Jesus. And they noticed that Jesus, as he was being tempted, as he was being accused, Jesus never, ever engaged in dialogue, but just quoted God's word back to the devil. So much so that in the end, the devil's quoting God's word, trying to trip him up. And so they said to themselves, this is probably a great approach. Our minds naturally get distracted. So why don't we give our minds something to do when it's distracted, when we're aware of it? And so they would come up with a prayer word. And I've got some up here that have been words. And it's just, if you're going to do some silent prayer, just think of a prayer word. Any time you feel your mind's been distracted, you say that prayer word. And it's beautiful. There is Maranatha, come Lord. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I actually pray that one. And just the shortened versions of that, Jesus or Lord, have mercy, are really, really beautiful. One of the exciting things is, at first it feels weird, but as you just catch yourself being distracted and then you just say that prayer word, you would think by repeating it, it would lose its meaning, but there's something beautiful happens. The prayer word itself kind of opens up to these deeper things of God. And for me, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, has been amazing. Not just for me in prayer, but for how I live my life. You know, current stuff that's going on at the moment. Everyone's attacking one another. And do you know what it's like just to be reminded that I need mercy? And then, as Tim said, that we realize when we come around the table that we're to love one another. And for me, it's like, I need mercy because I'm a sinner. Maybe I need to operate in non-judgmental mercy towards others around me. Maybe the love of God looks like the love of God I'm receiving in Christ. And so, that's it. That is embracing silence. In our home churches this week, as I said, we're going to be looking at that. But there's more. There's actually opportunity this week. If you want to hang out with some people and practice some of this kind of silent prayer in its different forms, it's like an Ignatius style, there's Lectio Divina, there's like contemplative prayer, which I've just shared a little bit about today. Here's what you can do. If you go onto Eventbrite is like a kind of a, what would you call it? It's kind of like a booking website. We've set up on Eventbrite some little moments each morning this week coming. There's a couple at Rehoboth Park where we're going to do some like Ignatius stuff, which is like letting God speak to us from creation. And that's going to be led by Rob Price, which is going to be great. There's some other stuff here in the morning. So it's generally going to be between 7 and 7:30. Or 6:30 and 7. So you can go. So all you need to do is go on Eventbrite and search for Embracing Silence. Everyone say Embracing Silence. That's how you find what's on. We're actually just allowing 15, a sort of a cohort of 15, so it doesn't get too big. You'll see the things there. It's free, but you can register and then we know you're coming. So if you'd like to just practice that, you can do that.